Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Good morning, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to our program. My name is Dennis, and I'm here with Rick Sterling with Dr. Don on the phone, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us for our program today entitled The Bible on Trial. This program is the flagship program of Spirit of Truth Ministry, and we encourage you to go back and listen to some of the other shows that we've had on there. Currently, we have 1,525 programs in the can. This is number 1,526. And we, again, encourage you to make use of that as a resource. We also have a website at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. This is our Facebook page, and you can go there and you can read little things that I post on Fridays and Sabbaths to capture your attention about the things that are going on in the ministry sometimes, and also what we might be talking about on our programs that day. We also have a website, primary website at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. Excuse me, spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find lots of writing by Rick Sterling. He has a 7-part tome called The Grand Plan and all sorts of other good reading. We also have a copy of our book there, The Spirit of the Church by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. This book was published in 2007, and it is the primer for Spirit of Truth Ministry. It isn't that there aren't changes that have happened since 2007, but the book is a standalone effort, and we encourage you to read it. And as you listen, you will see how far we have come in our understanding. So I thank you for all of you for being here, and let's have prayer and we'll get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, grant us peace in our hearts today, even though there is little peace in the world. We know that your words are true, they are sure, and they are what will bring us to the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit. Help us to work toward that today. Grant us peace and comfort of your Holy Spirit in that when she visits us, that we will know that she is giving us the truth of the words that Jesus brought to this world. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now I'm going to go over here. If I can find the cursor, there it is. I won't use that old joke about cursing. Anyway, good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning to all. It's a beautiful day.
It is.
And I'm looking forward to that study, so back to you.
And good morning, Rick. It's nice to have you here today.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here, Dennis. And I'll ask you the first question.
Oh, boy.
Did you choose to be here?
Yes, I did. And I've chosen
that. You're
supposed
to say, well, this is where I live. So.
Well, yes, but here on the air with you, that was a choice I made, what, 25 years ago?
Yeah.
Something like that. And ministry's been around for about
30.
So maybe 26.
Dr. Don.
Hang on here.
There from the beginning.
Dr. Don, you were there from the beginning. Have things changed a little bit in the world and in our ministry since then?
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
It's like night and day, I know.
Well, consider back at the beginning 30 years ago, if someone, anyone would have come up and told us what was going on today, what would have been your belief level?
Oh, we would have laughed them out of the...
Well, they would have, they would have said we're crazy.
Right.
So, no, if somebody would have told you, somebody would have told what you just got up and walked away, these people need to be put into a mental institution. and that's even true for a couple of years ago. A couple of years ago, people wouldn't have even believed what's going on now.
That's right. So, but they still don't believe what we're saying.
Oh, well, that's all true, and that's, you know, I'm a teacher, you know, a teacher is always up against the firewalls. You know, it's like they have on the computers these days.
Yeah.
Everybody has some kind of firewall. And
right.
The spiritual ones are probably the toughest ones because the guy running that is Satan himself, and he's pretty brilliant. So
he's the wisest created being that God ever created.
That's exactly right. See, and so we need to be teaching that people see just see. Wait,
you know, the it that the trustworthy servant needs to be wise enough. That's what it says. Wise enough, and it brings to mind that what the Son of God told his disciples, I will make you wise as serpents and
gentle as lambs.
Gentle as doves, I think.
Yeah,
when I was thinking about... Oh, did you want to say something, Dr. Don?
Well, see, it's a daily... I'm talking to people every day. And it's just amazing because this is my MO. This is my thing of operation.
Modus operandi?
What?
Modus operandi.
Modus operandi. I'm speaking for myself now. I try to perfect ways of determining very quickly what we'll listen to. I had an amazing experience just last night. Two guys were talking to me, and I said, hang on, fasten your safety belts. So I start talking to him about Operation High Jump.
Mm.
And one guy just probably got up and walked away. I said the other one, I said, there you go. This guy ain't believing nothing I'm talking about. Well, the one that stayed, I mean, he listened. I mean, he took notes. So you do what you can wherever you can because people have their firewalls. We've been so brainwashed. The whole earth has been brainwashed. And it's a major challenge, but there are those people out there that will listen, but our job is to craft our message in such a way that they will listen at least long enough to take a couple notes. Anyway,
well,
over to you.
Speaking of firewalls, what I have found out that people who have been in Christianity and now consider themselves agnostic are much easier to talk to about God and spiritual things than a Christian. And they can easily see things that make sense. And I've had the ones that I have talked to would say, well, I've been asking that question for my whole life. And I asked my pastor and my pastor gave me platitude or I don't know, or we'll find out when we get to heaven. And that didn't satisfy me. So what does that tell you about the firewall? Christianity is a firewall against the truth. And there you go.
Well,
I had a...
Hang on just a second. I had to go get something to help with the computer. All religion is a firewall
well,
to the truth.
But I'm saying Christianity, that it espouses a belief
yes.
in Jesus Christ.
Right.
You would think would be open to the truth about the Son of God, and they are only open to the current perception of Jesus Christ. I had a thought come to me, and when I have thoughts like this, I immediately know that it's the Holy Spirit, even though she doesn't speak to me. It's, I guess you could say, telekinesis, something that's how I would.
Or telepathy.
Telepathy is more of a.
Telekinesis is moving things with
yeah.
your mind.
Well, yeah. Things move, believe me, Dennis.
Oh, boy.
Things move. I was thinking about the age-old charge. That's a legal term, a charge, that God has been charged with by those who try to present themselves as holier than thou. And they blame God for creating the being that is now the devil. And that if God had never created the devil, there wouldn't be sin. There wouldn't be the horrors and atrocities and the unspeakable things that have taken place on this earth from the time that Satan first decided to turn his back on his creator. And I have been thinking about this, because to a lot of people, it's the one reason they don't want anything to do with God, because they hold God responsible for all of this, because he created Lucifer. And of course, all of the angels that threw their lot in with Lucifer and are now working along with him in their failed kingdom. You really need to know God, not know of God. You need to know God. When you know God, you know why God does what he does. You know how and for what reason. God is creator. God is in the universe, and God holds the universe together in order through a magnetic field, the magnetic field that centers in God. God creates. That's what God does. And God creates, and all his creation behaves in a lawful manner. In the dynamics of physics, everything works in order. God creates everything in an orderly way, and Satan does the opposite. He destroys into chaos. God knows everything. He knows the truth of the past, the present, and the future. And he knows it all at the same time. If he were to, well, first of all, the beings that he creates, and even the animals, all have the ability to choose. They have the ability to process information. What is called instinctual behavior in animals is really a minimization of what that animal is doing. The animal has made choices based upon its past experience. You can see a mother cheetah teaching her cubs how to hunt. You can't teach instinct. Instinct you're born with. So what this has to do with Satan is that God knew what Satan would do. But he didn't make him do it. Satan chose that path. He chose that path knowing full well where it was leading. But he thought that he could prove God wrong. That he could take control of a world and be its God and its ruler. And it would have no connection to the true God, the true creator. And what he would have to do is it would have to be an anti-world. Not a A-N-T-E, but an A-N-T-I. Everything would be opposite. Everything would be the opposite of what it was created to be. And his success would be to get every human being on the face of the earth to accept his lies, obey them as the truth. He chose to do this, and he did it. So God's response, I don't think most people think about this. I knew what God's response was, and I always said that God has a plan to restore his authority to this world. And I kind of had an idea of it, but it didn't really all fall into place until just the other day. When I was thinking of, I knew that God did not purposefully create the devil to be the evil dark lord of this world. If he did that, he would be responsible. And he would be accountable. But what God has done and what he has shown us in his plan is the plan for restoration is based upon that same principle, that every being that God creates has the right to choose. And they can choose to believe, worship, and practice lies. And they can do that from generation to generation, and God does not intervene. Well, until wickedness reaches the full cup level. That's what happened in the days of Noah, where the power to choose is given over to the devil, and you can no longer make a choice. You no longer need or want to make a choice. You have been sealed in the decision that you have made, and no amount of truth will change your soul. So just as God gave all of the angels the power to choose, even to choose to obey him or not, he has given that same ability to us, the people of his creation. And we see a good example of that in the garden, the man and the woman. And you notice that God placed in the garden that tree, the tree that they were instructed never to eat from or to touch even. But he did not take away their power to choose whether they would obey him or not. And we know what they chose. Has God given us something to hope for? Or has God just filled his words with thou shalt and thou shalt not, without explaining what's the end going to be? I mean, do we have any hope that things will get better? And of course you'll say, well, yes, we have hope because God's going to return. Well, there are people who say God should have returned long time ago. I mean, when the Messiah came here to earth, why did he have to leave? Why didn't he just take care of it then? Why did he leave us here now for another 2,000 years? Did you want to say something?
I will eventually.
God has made very clear what needs to happen here on earth. And when it does, then he will return.
My question, Rick, is when Jesus left this earth for heaven after his ministry, did he leave a viable and active kingdom on earth?
No.
He did not. And that was not his choice. People that were to become his kingdom refused.
They chose.
They refused to become his kingdom by choice. And now, at that moment, God had to shift gears And it is not a gear that he didn't know about. And that shift of gears took the kingdom away from the original entity that was to have become his kingdom and gave it to another people who would accomplish the things, the deeds of the kingdom. It took more than 2,000 years for that to happen.
And the other people are individually, not collectively.
Right.
And what that requires is choice. And that's what I'm getting to, that it has always been choice, always. And that's why God stresses so powerfully and clearly and over again that the key to salvation is to know God, not know of God and believe in him. You need to know God. And what I am talking about today is going to reveal to you what knowing God will do.
And you see, you and I both know that there are lots and lots of people, there are lots and lots of people who say, no one can know the mind of God. I mean, we're just human. All we need to do is believe by faith. You see, faith covers a multitude of responsibilities.
And who really benefits when that kind of thinking is?
The Dark Lord.
The Dark Lord, who does not want you to think. He doesn't want you to choose. You're already his. Your only choice is to not be his. And you say, well, I choose not to be his. Well, then quit believing his lies. Because as long as you believe his lies and you worship in his lies and you practice his lies, he's your God. That's why you need to know the truth. It is your life. The truth is your life. Lies are your death, because they are dead words. They don't exist. They never did exist. Truth are living words. Living words give life to your soul, so your soul is living. Dead words give death to your soul. A soul full of lies is dead. So, what does God say about what's going to happen when he returns? What is going to be going on? And does he give us any clue that the devil is going to be destroyed? That his kingdom will be defeated? Is that revealed in his plan? Well, he depicts this over and over and over again throughout the law and the prophets and the testimony of his son. And another example, other than all of the ones that I have given you to date, is found in Isaiah chapter 14. And when you read verses 1 and 2, what you see is that God is talking about the end of the exile of Jacob. Jacob is what he calls his people, Judah. The end of their exile, they will go back home to Judah and Jerusalem. And he talks about when they do that, nations will take then and lead them to the place they came from, and the house of Israel will adopt them in the land of Yahweh. They will capture those who captured them and master their oppressors. The day Yahweh gives you, the day Yahweh gives you rest after your suffering and torment, and the grim servitude to which you were forcefully enslaved, you are to recite this satire on the king of Babylon. The satire is about Satan. The king of Babylon was Satan. The king of Babylon today, spiritual Babylon, is Satan. This is talking about the defeat of Satan.
Give the text one more time.
Isaiah chapter 14. And I am reading now from verse 6. You are to recite the satire on the king of Babylon. And reading on now. What was the end of the tyrant? Know that this is in the past. Now what I'm saying is know that the satire is talking about something that happened in the past. So they've been restored to the land. They are a holy nation. Satan has been defeated, and this is the chant, they say. So this is the chant when Satan has been defeated. And Satan, right now, has been defeated. He's in his last gasp effort, but he will fail because he has lost. So listen to these words, because they are talking about his defeat, not in the future, but in the past. What was the end of the tyrant? What was the end of his arrogance? Yahweh has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of tyrants, which angrily thrashed the peoples with blow after blow, which furiously tyrannized over the nations. Furiously tyrannized, I like that term. Tyranny is what we have been living under. Persecuting without respite. The whole earth is at rest. It is calm, shouting for joy. The cypresses, the cedars of Lebanon, rejoice at your fate now that you have been laid low. No one comes up to fell us, to cut us down. I think of Lord of the Rings and Fangorn Forest.
Fangorn?
Yeah. On your account, Sheol beneath us is astir to greet your arrival. To honor you, he rouses the ghosts of all the rulers of the world. He makes all the kings of the nations get up from their thrones. Each has something to say, and what they will say to you is this. So you too have been brought to nothing.
Yeah. I really like the New American Standard. Even you have been made weak as we, you have become like us.
I like that, and I like this.
I like
because
both, like
what are lies? What are lies?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yep.
Last weekend, I talked about the nothing
right.
from Neverending Story. So you too have been brought to nothing like ourselves. You too have become like us. Your magnificence has been flung down to Sheol. With the music of your harps, underneath you a bed of maggots and over you a blanket of worms. How did you come to fall from the heavens, Daystar, son of the dawn? How did you come to be thrown to the ground, you who enslaved the nations? You used to think to yourself, I will climb up to the heavens and higher than the stars of God, I will set my throne. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. I will climb to the top of thunderclouds. I will rival the Most High. What? Now you have fallen to Sheol, to the very bottom of the abyss? All who see you will gaze at you, will stare at you. Is this the man who made the earth tremble and overthrew kingdoms? Who made the world a desert or a wilderness and leveled cities? I think about Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Who never to his captives opened the prison gates. All the kings of the nations lie honorably, each in his tomb. But you have been expelled from your grave like loathsome dung, buried under the slaughtered, under those cut down by the sword and thrown on the stones of the ditch like a mangled carcass. You are never going to rejoin them in the grave, for you have brought your country to ruin and destroyed your people. The offspring of the wicked will leave no name behind them. Start slaughtering the sons for the guilt of their fathers. Never again must they rise to conquer the earth, spread across the face of the world.
And you see, one of the things that has become apparent, and the word that the Jerusalem Bible uses is satire. We think of satire as humor, but it is simply a dichotomy of ideas where one thing is said but the other is meant. And this literally, we are living in a time of satire because Satan looks like he is winning when he has already lost. And he lost because of one being who came at exactly the right time to teach and discover first and then teach the truth.
Well, since you've brought that up, Dennis, I'll ask you a question. How is it that sin and wickedness came to be? What was it that happened?
Satan made
a created
choice.
Being chose
right
to do this.
And you see, the people who say that God, in creating Satan, created sin, are belittling the Creator.
So what in effect did he choose to do? Very simple. Disobey God's order, God's command, God's will, God's purpose.
And did Satan know God's will and order?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if the dawn of creation means that he's the first created being, then you would think if he was the first created being, he witnessed the creation of the rest of the angels. He witnessed the creation of the world, the planets,
right,
and all of that. And it's still, with all of that, he chose to go against God.
And he thought in his own heart that if I can get rid of the concept of a benevolent God, I can make people believe that I am their God.
And let me tell you, he has a plan. He didn't just say, well, I don't want to obey God and I'm going to take the world. He had a plan. Believe me, he had a plan. When it says the serpent was the wisest of all the created being, of all of God's creations, you think he's talking about a snake?
Not hardly.
So what would you think then would need to happen in order for God to defeat, to get rid of the evil and the lies that have consumed this world for so long by the choice of one being, all of this? Well, we look at the garden. That was where God was going to start the process to restore his creation. And that's why he put the tree in the garden. Was it up to the man and the woman in the garden to decide what God meant when he said, don't ever eat from that tree? To try and figure out, well, what is he, you know, is he keeping something from us? What's so special about that tree? What'll it do? You know, as far as I know, because of what I can read, they didn't give it a second thought. God said, don't ever eat from that tree. And they didn't. But the serpent came into the garden. And that same serpent has been deceiving the whole world ever since. So what does God need? What is it? Has he told us how we can be freed from the kingdom of the devil?
If the devil has a kingdom and has spent millennia, thousands and thousands of years, building it,
tens or hundreds of thousands,
correct, then the only way that God can defeat that kingdom is to have a kingdom of his own on earth. And so far, up until what, 2012, God did not have a kingdom on this earth that was viable, because they had always failed.
I'm going to read from John. Chapter 8, 31 and 32. To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, if you make my word your home, you will indeed be my disciples. You will learn the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's all right there. And you say, well, I do believe his word. do you now? Now, I know that you are regular listeners. You do believe his word, but the new ones may not
understand
quite get this.
They may not understand the concept.
Because not everyone who says that they have been given information from God to give to the people are telling the truth.
Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will be in the kingdom.
Not even, it will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. Well, of course, he knows who they are. But the knowing is that connection made by truth. So the truth, the most reliable eyewitness, ear witness testimony you will find in the Bible is Matthew and John. Mark may also be included, but Matthew and John were disciples. Mark was not one of the 12. He came along later on. And I'm not minimizing Mark, but Luke was a disciple of Paul, and his whole, the flavor of his writing is heavily influenced by Paul. So you need to learn and know the truth in order to be set free from the prison of the kingdom of the devil. The prison are the lies that hold you captive in his kingdom. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 45. What sort of servant, then, is trustworthy? What does trustworthy mean? Trustworthy is worthy of being trusted, right?
Yes, which means that you have been given an assignment, you've been given a number of assignments, and you've completed them all. You have proven your worth.
So past performance has been in line with truth.
Correct. Yeah. And see, this not only goes for God, but it goes for those who say, who declare themselves that they are of God.
Did the man and the woman in the garden trust their creator?
No, they did not.
Because if they had trusted him, they wouldn't doubt what he had said. They would not have a doubt. The doubt was planted by the serpent, and they fell into that trap. So we're talking about a servant who is trustworthy. So he has a track record that shows that he can be trusted. And wise enough for the master to place him over his household to give them their food at the proper time. So we come here to the point. There's one person, the servant, that the master will ultimately put over his household, but he has to have a track record that shows that he can be trusted. And trust is not all that is needed or necessary. He has to have some other quality. He has to be wise enough. Now, what did the serpent say to the man and the woman in the garden that eating from the tree would do for them. The record of the thoughts going through the woman's head was, well, the fruit looks good, and hey, if it can make one wise, well, maybe the serpent is right. You do not get wisdom from the serpent, ever. True wisdom comes from God. So, wise enough. The man and the woman in the garden were not wise enough. To what?
To believe God.
To obey.
And obey.
Right. You see, so I don't know all that went on in the garden. I don't know why it was that they were not wise enough, but wise enough is to be like your teacher. To me, wise enough is not just the bare minimum. Wise enough is you can be like your teacher. You can, what this individual here, what he's describing here is a person who can do for his fellow servants what the Son of God did for his fellow servants. You say, wait, he wasn't a servant. Yeah, he was. He said he was. He said that he was a servant. He came here to do his Father's will. In other words, he was a servant for his Father. Servant is not a bad thing. In fact, servant is a very important thing, especially when you're talking about this servant who's trustworthy and wise.
Enough.
And wise enough to what? To give his fellow servants their food. And what is this food?
Well, I was just thinking, giving his fellow servants their food, you could call that collating the truth, putting
what
it together.
Was the Son of God feeding his disciples and feeding the people?
Truth.
No, not what was he feeding them.
Oh.
Was he feeding
them? Oh, yes, he definitely was.
So the food is spiritual food, which is not, you know, the agricultural kind.
Right.
It's spiritual food, which is words. And these are words of truth. He has to have the truth in order to share the truth. If you don't have the truth in your soul, you can't share it. All you're going to do is share lies. So in your Bible there, Dennis, I think it says, who then is faithful?
Who then is the faithful and sensible? And by the way, it doesn't say perfect. Sensible. Wise enough. I like that. Sensible and wise enough are basically the same thing.
And the word translated faithful can also be translated trustworthy.
Correct.
So we have here defined, and I'm going to turn back here because we have about 3 minutes left, in Matthew chapter 17, 11. True, he replied. This is the Son of God speaking to Peter, James, and John. Elijah is to come to see that everything is once more as it should be. To see that everything is once more as it should be. What does that mean? It says that in your translation there. Dennis?
Let's see.
To restore.
To restore, yes.
All things. To restore. God's plan of restoration starts with one person. He calls the Elijah-type prophet. That one person who is the Elijah-type prophet is the one who's feeding his fellow servants, giving them their food at the proper time. So, for example, if I were that servant, then I would be doing exactly what I'm doing right now. And that servant, who's trustworthy and wise enough, has chosen to do what he is doing, and he continues to do it until his master returns. So here's the bottom line. I think I can get this in the next 2 minutes. Satan, Lucifer, chose the path that he took. He chose it. God didn't force him. God didn't do anything other than create him with the ability to choose. And the reason that God didn't just wipe him out at that moment is because that would not have been legal. It wouldn't have been according to law. The way that God was going to get this earth back was to have one of his created beings. Satan was a created being, and he brought the death and chaos. But one of his created beings to choose to obey God and not the devil. And that if he remained faithful, he would prove himself trustworthy and wise enough for God to be able to return this world back to its original condition when he created it. So God is not responsible or culpable in what Satan has done just because he created him. Because he's being vindicated that a being he created has undone and restored, allowed God to restore righteousness to this earth. We are in the days of Elijah right now.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you for being here. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, and we hope you have a good day. So long for now.